Well, thanks, JP. Let me back up a little bit. I'm sure most of you aren't familiar with JP and Ken. JP is one of our program managers at Linden Lab. He has been working on this adult-oriented content project for quite a while, and Ken is one of our lawyers at Linden Lab who's also been working on this project. Before we get started, I wanted to get a quick survey of which kinds of solution providers are attending today and what you're focusing on. How many of you are focused on enterprise clients, meaning real life businesses, organizations, education? You can type yes in the chat. Great, thanks, guys. How many of you work with adult content? And how many of you guys have in-world businesses, whether it's adult or non-adult content, PG or mature content? Wow, we got a good, big and varied group here. That's really helpful in helping us best address your questions and concerns. So thank you. The way we're going to handle this forum is for JP and Ken will, talk about the AO policies. And if you have any questions, please IM me directly, Madhavi Linden. And once the Q&A session begins, I will ask those questions that I've received in the order in which I received them.
Thank you, Madhavi. I'm going to apologize to everybody. I have kind of a bad cold, so if I sound more like kind of a frog than one of Linden Lab's attorneys, which is what I am, I apologize if I'm kind of difficult to listen to. But let me start by just giving a 1 or 2 minute introduction about the adult plan that we're creating, how we got here, why we want everyone's input, and what the basic parameters around it is probably going to look like going forward. I'm going to assume that most of you, probably all of you, read our blog post and have followed the discussion in the forums, which has been very overall productive for us on our end. Essentially, what we're trying to do is, as we keep saying, give users more control over their experience. A very big part of this, obviously, is that some users, a lot of residents, simply don't want to encounter what you'd usually think of as adult, material or adult activities. We're mostly talking about sexually explicit, very sexually explicit materials, and some, I mean, many people want that as part of their experience. So we're trying to give people kind of a way to have that when they want it, and not have it when they don't want it, and generally. Exactly. Some residents absolutely do want it. Some want it sometimes, don't want it at other times. And we're trying to overall make the experience more predictable for our residents. What we're not trying to do, by the way, in any way, is get rid of adult content. We're not trying to, in any way, marginalize or reduce the ability of people to have these adult experiences. We think it's important. It's an important part of the Second Life experience. It's full of creativity. It's full of passion, and it's something that we absolutely want to be able to remain within Second Life. So, with all that said, there are, as you've probably gleaned from the blog post, three pieces to what we have in mind. The first is creating an essentially a part of the mainland for adult content and adult activities to occur, and help anyone that wants to move to that place move in as efficient and easy a way as possible. The second piece is some type of search filtering. So, for instance, if a business is using search tags that are adult terms, that use clearly adult terms, sexually explicit terms, that is a fairly efficient way without, you know, us bumping up against, you know, all of you in a cumbersome way. That's a pretty efficient way for users to sort and for content to be sorted. So in other words, if you're using adult search tags, that would automatically fall into the adult category. It would be viewable by those who have gone through some type of adult validation verification process, not to people who haven't, and not to people who don't want to see it, more importantly. And third, there would be land designations. Some people are calling them ratings. They're not really ratings. They're essentially designations that the region owners would self-select. And you can either select an adult rating if there's going to be adult material on the region or in any parcel in the region, or you can select mature if it falls into that much broader category. And a big part of this, of course, is going to fall on us to provide the community with clear, objective, not overbroad definitions so that, again, the experience is predictable, not only for the residents out there who are looking for stuff, but also for all of the, you know, merchants and landowners and club owners and everyone else. So we're having a series of meetings with important constituencies. This is, of course, one of them, to get input on all of those steps, on the logistics that are going to be needed to minimize any difficulties. And we know there are probably going to be some bumps in the road, but we want to minimize those, and to find out how we can make this into essentially a positive and productive experience that helps residents and that doesn't cause pain or harm business, harm activity, that, you know, it's obviously in everyone's interest to maximize and make efficient and productive. So that's all I've got by way of introduction. JP Madhavi may have something to add to that, but above all, we want to be able to take everyone's questions and learn what we can from everybody here.
Oh, Ken, that was awesome. Thank you. That pretty much covered what I had in my notes. So, Madhavi, do you have anything?
I have nothing to add at the moment.
So why don't we take some questions, and Madhavi, I'll let you kind of serve as the master or mistress of ceremonies. I don't know what the politically correct term would be, because I think you know a lot of the folks here. Or if people have questions, you can just type them in, or if no one's typing, just shout them out, I guess.
We have a couple of questions already have come in. So the first question is from AWM Mars. What laws are going to be applied, quota, to support what is considered adult content? He also added that, you know, there's a difference between what the Vatican would consider adult content and what, you know, a red light district would consider adult content. So how are we going to define that?
So that's a very good question, and it's obviously getting that right is going to be, I think, the linchpin to how this succeeds. And I would the one piece of the question I would change is I wouldn't use the word laws, because this is, I mean, we're not doing this to comply with any particular laws. We're really doing it for our, you know, for our residents. But the, I think the core of the question is, you know, what do we mean when we say adult? And most of what's going to fall into that category is what I think most people would think of as adult, which means sexually explicit material, sexually explicit conduct. We're talking about sex clubs in all of their varieties. We are, so that's going to be, I suspect, the largest piece of this. We're not talking about activities that are not being advertised to, you know, and presented to the public. We're not talking about what people do in their homes, no matter how, you know, what that might be. We're talking about that type of largely public experiences that come up in search. The other, probably smaller category is intensely violent activity. We're not talking about your basic kind of, you know, shoot 'em up games or experiences, but an example of that might be, you know, something with a lot of blood and guts, you know, beheadings, torture, etc., which I think you could would in other contexts be called intense violence. And I think the third, much smaller category would be you know, actual photographs of you know, nudity, what you know, you might think of as pornography. And it's going to be important for us to make sure, also, and important for everybody in the community to make sure that we have some exceptions in there, so that, you know, things that are only you know, minimal part of, let's say, an artistic display, or that have significant, you know, educational components or something like that, you know, breast cancer awareness. I don't know. You can come up with obvious examples that's not swept in to the you know, to the definition of adult. And we have some definitions. We're trying to make sure that we hone them as best as we can, with everyone's input, to make them as, you know, as precise as we can, and not open them to subjectivity.
Thanks, Ken. I see there's,
and I'm going to rely on you, Madhavi, to follow the, or to help me follow the threads here.
Sure.
So nude beaches, that's a good question. Our thinking now is that, you know, simple nudity, very hard to regulate simple nudity, you know, unless it's tied to, you know, explicit sexual activity. It would probably be very difficult to monitor mere nudity. I mean, all of us at some point are nude, you know, in world.
Leah had a follow up. What about pictures of naked skins?
And that's one of the that's one of the toughest areas that we're still trying to make sure we get right. One of the kind of self fulfilling incentives there, I think, is going to be the search filters. So, for instance, if you're using words, you know, sexual words or words describing certain body parts, genitals, etc., that's probably going to automatically put you into the adult category. And I think that's going to take care of some of the naked skin selling. As to the rest of it, you know, we're trying to consider. That's still something that we're thinking through.
All right. The next question is from Mark. If I can get my chat to work properly, excuse me. Mark asks, will there be a governing process brought into place? And if so, is a policing part of it?
JP, do you want to talk about that? Or?
Well, I think it's been discussed extensively internally what that's going to look like and what form that will take. And I think the concern, what we've heard from the community, has primarily been to what extent can we expect aggressive enforcement to take place and eject people from Second Life for what they, by their own definition, interpret to be not necessarily adult as is defined in the policy. This is new. We've never tried to use the kind of zoning kind of policy that we're introducing here, so we expect a learning curve, and we expect it to be a collaborative effort. The definition will ultimately take form, and the process of asking people to reconsider what they're doing or selling or hosting on their regions, you know, there will be a process for that. I think we already have a process for that with mature content, and that will be kind of the template that we will use. But initially, I think as we kind of work through getting what would be considered a common understanding of what the rules are, I think we're going to approach it in that way, and we're going to want to make sure that people understand and that there's at the very least an understanding. I don't necessarily expect that we'll ever have complete agreement, but I think the understanding is what we're looking to, what we're hoping to, you know, achieve.
Sure, Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, please.
And I would like to do this on voice because I have nearly bent over fingers already. I asked specifically because I know the mature part of SL will only be taken seriously if somebody complains. So if this is the same concept that you apply on adult, why do you do then adult in the first place? Because by creating an adult part, the assumption is made that you will need to find a way how to govern it, and the community to put this onto the community and say, oh, if somebody complains, then we go into it and do something, is something very ambiguous, very not very determinable, because somebody from the Middle East will have a different perspective than somebody from Amsterdam.
I agree, so, and I think. Oh, go ahead, Ken, please.
Well, yeah. What I was going to say, it's a very good point that, you know, the people's perceptions are different in different places. I think that a large part of the, you know, the aspect of what is adult and what is not, and what belongs in an adult area as opposed to not an adult area, is going to be taken care of through the search filtering process, which is an objective rather than a subjective process. So, for instance, if you are using, you know, think of the, you know, think of some words that are generally used to get people into sex clubs, you know, orgy rooms, through the search tool. They're, you know, generally adult terms. And what's going to happen is that in order to see the results of adult search, in other words, to see results that are tied to adult search tags, you're going to have to have gone through some type of adult validation verification requirement, and that's probably going to involve either credit cards or our age verification tool that we're currently using, or something like that. So that part is going to be self-enforcing, simply because if you are running a sex business, you certainly do want people to be able to find you, and the way that they find you is by typing in those terms. And you know, that's the way that those searching, that the customers are going to find their way to these businesses, and vice versa. So that part is going to be essentially self-effectuating, and it's not going to be vulnerable to the idea that, you know, what term means in the Netherlands is different from in the U.S., et cetera, because it's going to be based on, specific words that have, do have fairly specific meanings. The rest of it is going to be built around region designations. An entity that's not adult would not have any reason to be located on an adult region, because that, again, might reduce their traffic. On the other hand, there might be a small number of clearly adult-oriented businesses that situate themselves on non-adult regions. That's the part which I think is going to be the smaller part of this whole, this whole process, that will need some enforcement, and that we will handle the way we handle, other enforcement now, and we'll do it in a way to, avoid being subjective and try to be, consistent and just do our best in that way.
So AWM Mars had a follow-up. So if someone uses the word like Essex or watch our play, Dick Whittington, could they be parsed into adult content?
Again?
So if someone uses words like Essex, which is a place in the UK, or, watch our play Dick Whittington, could they be parsed into adult content in the search? So basically, will search catch those things as adult or not?
Probably. Honestly, it probably wouldn't. At a certain point, if it just became, completely known that the only, meaning, the only reasonable meaning of Essex was sex, then that might happen. But probably not. Probably Essex wouldn't fall into the search filters. But the problem is, if you're a business, and you're going to be making a decision to forego the use of the word sex and to instead use the word Essex, you're going to be losing a lot of your customers, because more people are going to be looking for the term sex rather than Essex. You'd have to forego use of the word sex, which is going to it's going to subvert what we're trying to do here. So the term sex. So one thing that we're trying to do very carefully, as we're creating this list of filtered terms, is for each term asking ourselves. I mean, not only intuitively, but also kind of empirically, like actually going out there and doing searches, and saying, is this particular term going to cast the net too wide? Is it going to, take in non-adult stuff because there are alternative meanings? And if it does that to any significant degree, even to an insignificant degree, we're trying to avoid that, and we're just trying to strike the balance towards permitting stuff rather than towards over blocking stuff.
This isn't an effort to sanitize per se.
Thanks, JP. Thanks, Ken. The next question comes from Hunter Benazi. Is this a precursor to incorporating the teen grid? I'm assuming onto the main grid.
No, there are no plans at this time to incorporate the gene grid in the main grid, and this is not part of that effort. Something, if I can just bounce off of Ken's thoughts about the AO continent on the adult mainland. It's true those incentives do exist. Something that we have heard kind of through the dialogue as we've gone are from residents who would in fact like to have themselves in an area that does require a little bit more of I guess what you say, cost of entry, not in terms of dollars necessarily, but in terms of a vetting, knowing who's known to us in Second Life. And the adult-oriented continent may in fact be a place like that. And with careful planning, it doesn't necessarily have to be exclusively an adult area with nothing but adult content. It can in fact be a place that the community decides it wants, they want to have it be, and try to do some careful management around that and be thoughtful about how things are laid out and displayed, and that you then have the freedom to have it contain whatever you'd like, but instead of contend with the filters that will be part of the adult-oriented content experience and control structure.
So that's a good point. There are certain pro-security or pro-business aspects, or there may be, you know, for some people to have, you know, that aspect of a greater identification, in a sense. If not identification, at least greater security, that everybody coming on to a particular parcel, particular region, has either a, you know, verified payment process on file, or has gone through some other, you know, verification process. I'm not a business owner, but I imagine there could be reasons that it, you know, there might be business reasons to do that. There might be security reasons to do that. So that's another potential, positive here.
Looking at Neil's question, I'm sorry, did you go ahead, please?
No, I was going to thank Ken for his thoughts and going on to the next question. So I'll read it aloud for everybody. Neil Robinson asks, when do the new continents and search features go live, and who is liable if residents are acting against the rules on the mainland? For example, if someone is doing adult things on a rented PG mainland area, etc.
So I think that's going to fall in line with what we said earlier with when you're talking about community standards and someone's conduct on within the community, if they're violating standards and somebody files an abuse report on them, we're going to be looking to talk to the individual about their conduct. If you're talking about somebody selling content, that's ultimately the person creating and selling that content. If you're the landlord and you're renting that parcel, I don't necessarily know it's going to... the example I can think of is kind of the federal drug interdiction laws, where your landlord is going to be dispossessed of their land due to... somebody's a tenant's behavior. But that said, I mean, each of these will be case by case. If somebody's in collusion and trying to game the system by some, you know, deniability structure, I think that will become apparent. And there's no hard rule, I think, that could be said or applied in that case. I think you'd have to look at that situation and consider it for what it is. But generally, if you're hosting a sim or hosting a renter and they've they're doing something that violates the community standards, and that's found to be true, that person will be dealt with in the way that the system, you know, exists to deal with them. I don't think we're going to reach into the landlord's realm unless, again, he's part of that effort.
What difficulties do people... Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean... I just wanted to open the floor to... You know, I just want to make sure that we pick up any potential difficulties or anything that maybe would make this go more smoothly from all of you.
So just to respond to the follow-up questions real quick before we jump in, the community as well as the Resi team will be to the extent policing it as we're defining policing. But a request to investigate an abuse report and enforcement, the one doesn't necessarily guarantee the other. Investigating a claim is certainly something that we will do. If it's in the process of that investigation deemed that it's true, then we'll act accordingly. An organized effort to AR somebody out of a SIM or out of a mainland area because they don't like their content, we've seen it done. We know what that looks like. And it doesn't necessarily impact the standards that are applied. Ultimately, we'll arrive at a standard that will be, as Ken has said, as non-subjective as we can arrive at, and those will be the standards that are applied ultimately.
Did anybody have any comments or feedback for the question Ken posed earlier about what we can do to make the transition easier? Go ahead.
I think potentially what could happen here, because this is a multinational platform, is you're going to have people's opinions. You could potentially be flooded with people complaining about a whole variety and trying to reinterpret what you class as being the rules, the laws, or whatever you want to call them, because there are many, many people with those opinions. They will reinterpret. They're not lawyers. And so how are you going to apply the resources to make that effective? Because if they end up with a backlog which stretches for 10 months before you answer people, you're just going to generate a lot of frustration and potentially law taking into their own hands. Who knows?
Well, it's true. It's whenever we've put, whether it's narrow or broad, new policies into effect, they do get, as you say, reinterpreted. It happened with gambling, which is about a year and a half ago. We still get a lot of reports about games that are not are not games of chance, and we deal with those by not enforcing them. We strictly enforce our policy and don't go further. And when we announced or clarified our age play, sexual age play policy, a lot of people misinterpreted that, even though I think we communicated it pretty clearly, to mean that, you can't, play as a as a kid, which isn't correct. It only pertains to sexually explicit activity, and we get those complaints too. And we go through them, and we have a team of people here who understand the policies and who only enforce the policies where there really is a violation. So we're going to have to do the same thing here, and it may be a little bit more difficult because, as you say, ideas, but we feel confident that we can do that, and that we've learned how to do it from doing it in other contexts.
Absolutely. But anybody who's a lawyer knows that if the laws were very explicit and have no need to be challenged or reinterpreted, and there'll be no need for courts, because there are many, many cases where they do cases where they actually try the law, if you like, where they are reinterpreting and putting together cases based on those interpretations in law. But what concerns me is what resources Linda Labs are going to be applying to this, because obviously as soon as you open the floodgates, there will be a huge, huge impact flood coming in your direction. I'm just wondering how you're going to keep the momentum going and do the enforcements and how those policies are going to be managed.
So I think Ken, you might want to tackle me and cover my mouth at some point here through this. Maybe not. I think what you're getting to, and I think there's been a lot of consideration of that, is this policy as a political device to manage estates and to manage people's neighborhoods, I guess you could say. And I don't think we are. We came into this thinking this would be what would be achieved, and I don't think we want to see it used as that. I think what we want to have is a set of standards that will ultimately be defined, that we can all point to, that will define what you can predict in terms of your experience based on the settings that you apply to your account. That will provide, you know, results in search. It will provide results in terms of what you will and won't access, depending on your setting. For people who I think would endeavor to use it as a political tool to sanitize their neighborhood, I don't think they're going to have much success in that effort. I feel confident in saying that. I know it's going to happen. I think we all can all predict that there will be some effort to do that. But that doesn't necessarily mean they'll succeed. And I understand about the concern about it being disruptive in terms of legitimate enforcement requests. But as Ken said, and as other people have said in our internal discussions, I think there's a team who's got some good experience in that realm, and I think they'll do a pretty good job with it.
And I think the more, to the extent that there's a logistical part to that question, we have a large team of people here who work together to deal with all of the abuse reports and other complaints that we get. We get thousands upon thousands of them, and we do feel confident that we'll have the staff to deal with the complaints that come in, and we have no doubt that complaints are going to come in. Given that we're generally not going to be enforcing the policy against truly ephemeral conduct, in other words, I have sex or I appear nude or something like that in a particular place, and it's not tied to, you know, regular ongoing, content or activity. The inability the inability to in real time deal with these things is not going to have an impact, because we're not trying to do this literally, you know, in real time, where, you know, somebody's simply doing something, it's not an ongoing business, etc., and we're going to clamp down on them. That's not the purpose of this.
Thanks, Ken. Thanks, JP. AWM had a corollary question to that regarding policing and policies. The parameters being used to decide what is adult content, if not legally based, could be construed as being nothing more than discrimination, which in itself is illegal. So basically, I think the question is, what parameters, legal parameters, are we using if we're using legal definitions?
So most of the biggest part of the definitions as to what is adult is going to be around sexually explicit activity. Beyond that, what I described before as truly, intensely violent stuff. I don't think that's a strictly legal definition. I mean, the laws are different, and as I think you mentioned, in different places. So we're going to avoid something that's legal based, as you've put it. Does that answer the question, though, or was there a nuance there that?
Well, I just wonder that obviously some people are going to consider themselves to be the right side of the line, and they're going to be challenging it because, you know, historically, people do challenge the law if they feel that it doesn't apply to them or it's been misapplied to them. So my question was, if it has a legal precedence in which you can refer to, then you can guide them in that direction. But if you're just, let's just say, making up your own, then that in itself can be formed as or construed as discriminatory, and therefore that is illegal. And then you may find that somebody starts challenging that in a real life way. If they feel obviously they're losing potential or just simply being discriminated against, they could use that as a powerful tool.
Right. So we're of course not going to discriminate against anyone on any of the bases that, you know, the law says you can't discriminate against people, you know, race, religion, etc. But what we are going to do
sexual gender.
sexual, gender, et cetera. Nothing going to, you know, say, you know, men can do this, women can do that, sexual orientation, you know, is an issue one way or the other. None of that. What we are going to do is provide clear and objective guidelines for people to use in deciding how they want to designate their land and where they want to locate their business or their activities. So it's not going to be discrimination. It's going to be about people, you know, abiding by the content guidelines that we've provided, which should be clear enough so that people can't say, hey, you know, this is inconsistent and, you know, overbroad, and therefore you treated me differently than you treated, you know, somebody else. And that's going to be on us to make sure that we're doing consistently enough, doing this consistently enough that nobody feels that they're being treated, you know, worse or better than anyone else who's similarly situated.
I accept that fact that you are going to be doing that, and I respect that, but not going back too long ago, of course, terms of service was challenged in a court of law and found to be severely wanting as being one-sided. I'm just feeling that, are you in danger of simply going in the same direction with that? But I'll leave it up to Mark. He's got a question anyway, sir.
Ken, I would love to interject there because I would like to hear that Linden Labs makes a statement, and especially you as their attorney, is making the statement that you will not only give very clear guidelines, you will make explicit examples that everybody is able to understand what Linden Labs perceives as on the right side or being on the wrong side. Because if you come to the United Kingdom, and we had in the 70s a big challenge about liberalization of pornography, and it was a huge challenge. So if this rule would be applied, then maybe somebody in the United States would say, but this is not what applies to me. So what you see as the male genital is on the degree scale too much. And it has to be absolutely precise what you guys are delivering, because otherwise people will always take this up for a challenge.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's in your interest that we do that. It's if anything, more so in our interest that we do that, because our lives will be miserable if we don't. And it's, of course, in everybody's interest on the platform. So yes, our intent is to provide not only very clear guidelines, but also to provide examples so that somebody reading the definitions or guidelines or whatever we wind up calling them walks away not only understanding the words on the page, but also hopefully getting some intuition about what goes on what side, you know, of the fence. So, you know, an orgy room is going to go here. A park is going to go here. Someone selling sexy clothing, but, you know, not hosting, you know, intentionally, you know, in an ongoing way, hosting sexually explicit activities, just selling clothing, is going to go here, etc. You know, I'm sure there are going to be some edge cases that we're going to miss, but I think that, you know, the job in front of us is for us to try to, you know, be clear on, you know, well up above 90% of the use cases here. So I hear what you're saying, and I think we've taken that into account, and we've taken it to heart.
I think, yeah, that's right. And I think it ultimately doesn't change what's allowed or not allowed in the world. I mean, this is really, you know, zoning and search filtering at the end of the day, and that's what this is targeting. I don't think we're looking to interpret or exclude anything. I think what we're looking to do is make sure that you know where to find it if you're looking for it. And if you don't want to find it, you're not going to wind up finding it.
We have about 10 minutes left, and there's still a handful of questions that people have submitted. So I'd like to get to those, and then we can open up the floor to other questions and discussion, if that's okay with everybody. So the next question is also from Mark about pricing. Will the adult region sims be in the same price category as mainland, $195, or because it is now an adult content sim, will the prices be increased because it'll attract certain traffic or more traffic?
I think mainland pricing will be mainland pricing. I don't think there's any intent to price it differently. What it will sell for on the open market is another story entirely.
The next question is from Sidor Madonna. Will the search terms include other languages per the internationalization project?
They might. The majority of the terms will be in English, but to the extent that there are other terms that aren't overbroad and aren't going to pull in non-adult activities, there will be some terms in other languages. Yes.
The next question is from January Lightfoot. Going back to the teen grid and regular grid, is there nothing planned to include the teen grid in the regular grid, or at least make the teen grid easier to access? I think the new generation is ready for Second Life, but isn't allowed. And there's the second part of that question, especially in Germany.
So I think the two important points that I think JP and I can tell you now about that is first of all, that has not in any way been part of this project. It's not in any way entangled with or connected with this this project, the way it's been done, the way it's being implemented. Second, we're not even involved in very much in the teen grid or in any decision that might be made in the future with respect to the teen grid. So we're probably not the best people to direct specific questions on that about, but no, that has nothing to do with this in any way.
Well, that's all the questions I've received in IM. We have some time left, so I'll open the floor to anybody who has additional questions, comments, or feedback.
Sorry, Mark. Sorry. Go ahead, Karen.
Kent?
Yes?
You say this project is not part of the integration of Teen Grid, but can you comment on that Teen Grid is in the general thought to be combined with the adult grid or with the normal grid?
I mean, I know that there's no plan to do that right now.
Okay.
I know there have been some public comments about whether that would be useful and what that would entail, but it's not something that we're working on now.
Okay. Thank you.
Could I ask, is the motivations for these recent events to separate adult content away from the main grids anything to do with any feedback from corporate enterprises, companies that are viewing Second Life and maybe have expressed that Second Life maybe doesn't have the right reputation for them in certain quarters?
That's a fair question. I think they are, corporations are a small component of the, varied resident groups that want more, control, predictability about what they see, what they bump into, et cetera. I mean, there are a lot of residents that want that, and they span from, you know, organizations to businesses to just you know, lots of residents doing lots of different things in world who you know, want to be able to you know, have a way to filter out truly adult materials when they, you know, when they want to.
Would you care to generalize on the sort of percentage that you've had from corporate enterprise feedback, real-life companies that maybe expressed this view?
Percentage of what? You mean of the general?
I mean, yeah, from the general feedback you've had, yeah. Which of those were corporates, education, organizations?
I'd say it's a minority. I don't know what the percentage is. It's the minority that we've heard anything about this from.
A question came in chat from Graf. I think adult-themed sims must have their own country-based age control. Would it be possible to integrate such a system generally in Second Life?
I'm not sure I understand. Do you understand?
Country-specific controls based on the local laws, is that what you're asking?
You've got a VAT system, so that works.
Yeah, I think it's about regionalizing. So if there's a Vatican sin, that would have different laws to maybe an Amsterdam sin. I think that's what they're talking about.
It's not an imminent component of these plans, although, you know, if the demands of the, you know, community take us in that direction, it's certainly something we'll contend with, but it's certainly not part of the current scope. I think we're going to let the community decide for itself what those thresholds are. We know age of majority in the United States, that's where we're from. That's, I think, the ultimate determiner in terms of age. You know, to access certain content, that's the threshold we're going to use. That's the laws we operate under. But yeah, in terms of developing viewers that are country-specific, I don't think we're there yet.
There are some quarters, some people's opinions in Second Life that this has a potential for escalating. I mean, we've seen the gambling, we've seen the banks, or we've seen several things being made rules about, and then we have adult content. Do you accept those people's fears?
Which fears? Fears? I'm not sure I understand. Fears about adult content being...
Well, adult content is one of the, in a string of things. We've had gambling, we've had age play. Not that I disrespect any of those things, but and now we've got adult content. There are people that are saying that this will escalate and escalate, and before long it could end up being akin to real life.
And are you saying it might escalate to a ban of adult content the way that we've had a ban, you know?
No, I'm saying the actual list of rules. As I said, we've had gambling, we've had banks that have been banned, and now we've got age play, and then we've had adult content. There are some people that are fearing that this is going to escalate into a whole conglomeration of rules which will expand and become more akin to real life.
Oh, I see. Well, I think that there is a difference between what we're doing here and what we've done with you know, say virtual banking or games of chance, in that we're not seeking to ban anything. I mean, you know, we want all of these activities to continue to thrive on Second Life. I mean, we think, you know, we've seen firsthand that it's a great source of creativity and passion, and it's something that is important to nurture in Second Life, and it's important to our users, it's important to our merchants, and there's a lot of activity and business that goes to supporting all these activities, and that's, to say the least, not lost on us. What we're trying to do is really simply provide a way through search and land designations to, you know, in some ways relocate, in some ways simply reorient search, so that residents, on the one hand, can have a way to control their experiences, and on the other hand, merchants and club owners and landowners can provide everything that that residents want without having any additional burdens of pain. So I think it's very different from those other cases, on the one hand, and I think it's also, I guess I'd have to think about it to think about whether conceptually this makes Second Life more than, more like real life rather than not. I'm a lawyer, so I'm not good at thinking in those kinds of conceptual terms. I guess in some ways it's a little bit more like real life, but then, in other ways it's very different from real life, because, you don't have that sort of, search component, and you don't have, some of the other things that we're implementing or even any analogies to them in real life. So, I think what I've just laid out is where we're trying to get to with all of this.
There's a couple more questions that came up in chat while you were talking, and since it is the top of the hour, we can end with those if Ken and or JP, if you're around, you have time to stay afterwards.
Sure.
And chat with people the questions.
Sure.
Let me wrap up here. Let's see. January, Lightfoot wanted to follow up on his question about the teen grid. He would really love to see us deal with a teen grid before putting out the adult content rules. In a way, it's the main problem issue why teen grid can't be implemented, or why is there nothing planned in that direction? And he'd like to figure out if you guys aren't the right people to talk to, who would be the right people to talk with about this issue.
Well, I'm trying to get my head around it. How to explain the teen grid is the teen grid, and it's what it is. These controls, while they do tend to align with age, are really more about content and how to control access to the content based on what you want to have in the way of an experience. That's very different, and it might seem a subtle or indistinguishable distinction, I guess you could say, but they are very different in terms of what we're doing or what we intend to do with these different programs. The controls we're introducing with this adult-oriented content program is not necessarily age control. I mean, Second Life, the main grid, is an 18-plus platform, and so you're not supposed to be here if you're under 18. It really does come down to there are certain times when I really don't need to be seeing certain content because I'm trying to host a seminar about something completely unrelated to adult content. And we're trying to provide some controls and some predictability around the desire to do things like that. It could go any number of directions or any number of interpretations, but the teen grid is still where if you want to have a Second Life experience and you're under 18, that's where you're going to go and have it. And there's no desire to change that policy at this point. And obviously there's some alignment there in terms of what this appears to be, but they're very different things, and they're very different questions to overcome. And there's a lot more to contend with in terms of integrating the grids than we've even considered at this point.
Thanks, JP. The last question from Joja Dara: is there concern from Linden Lab if there is a separate adult mainland that will be remembered by users and specifically press, like everyone remembers Amsterdam for its red light district? And that was one of the comments on the blogs.
I'm sorry, can you say that again? Is there a specific?
Is there a concern from Linden Lab that Second Life, the adult mainland, will be remembered more for a red light district, like the way Amsterdam is? Specific, and especially in the press, we remember that way.
Are we worried that it will be perceived as being a red light district? Is that the question?
Well, are you suggesting it should not be a red light district, or that that is not would not be an accurate analogy?
I'll let Georgia follow up on her question.
I don't think there's anything that will be permitted that wasn't permitted already, and there won't be anything that's prohibited that's not prohibited already. So I don't think that would be a logical, you know, way to view this. I think, it will. I mean, some are going to see this as a red light district. For some people, that's going to be great. For some people, it's going to be something to avoid. I mean, when people go to Amsterdam, lots of people check out the red light district, even if they don't, intend to shop there. That can be a selling point. It can be an attraction. There are some people that avoid that. We're trying to balance this, balance everyone's desires and concerns. The fact is this content is in Second Life. I think everybody knows that. I think everybody knows that we're a platform for very broad creativity. We're not scared of that. It is what it is. We're transparent about what we are and what we permit. So I think the answer is no, that's not a huge concern, so long as we're being honest and people are being honest about categorizing us and our residents.
Well, great.
So I've got a few takeaways from this, and this was. I mean, I just want to say, and I know, you know, Madhavi's got some probably some closing thoughts too, but I just want to say, want to thank everybody for showing up. This was, at least from where I sit, really productive. I'm going to, you know, think about the questions, and I know several of us are going to think about the questions raised. I've got a few clear takeaways. First, that we should make sure to provide absolutely clear guidelines, and probably that we should go over them, you know, word by word, and think through very carefully what belongs as adult, what doesn't, what the externalities can be. We should provide examples so that people can kind of both intuit and just kind of figure out from the wording what belongs where. We should be particularly aware of any, you know, potentially arbitrary definitions or reinterpretations by our residents or aggressive reporting. Not be knee-jerk about the way that the enforcement is done, and make sure that we've properly staffed the enforcement in the event that there's an early floodgate issue. And finally, I hear concerns about the team grid. I'm not the person to make those decisions, but it sounds like there are some concerns out there and some desires for some more input and around that.
Is there going to be a way that the residents can participate in the formulation of those rules? What they, I mean, you said about this is all generated by percentages of the community giving you feedback on the requirement for them. But is there a way the community is going to have any way that they can put forward maybe a selection of their own wishes from which you to divide from and take out ones which you feel are appropriate?
You mean on the definitions?
On the actual rules themselves, creation of the rules.
Well, that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing now. So the answer is absolutely. There's room for input, and on a broad basis through the forums, on a narrower basis, these brown bags.
Certainly ping Madhavi directly if you have particular details you'd like considered as part of these meetings. definitely pass it on. Where we are monitoring the forums closely, we're doing recaps on a very regular basis to make sure we're extracting, you know, the details from those posts and making sure that we have a very clear understanding of what the community is, you know, what they regard to be, you know, what would be appropriate thresholds in that by their definition. So, yeah, by all means, reach out and let us know if you have particulars.
Excellent.
Have people found this to be helpful, or is there anything that we didn't, that we failed to address in a clear way, or?
I found it very helpful. I found it very enlightening that, and also heartwarming in a way that Linda Labs are reaching out to the community. It's very good.
No, very good, very good. So I'm very pleased that you guys found the time to sit with us and discuss it.
Well, we feel the same way. I mean, your time is at least as valuable as ours.
Well,
probably more so.
Well, I wanted to thank everybody.
Can I send you a bill? just kidding.
I had a feeling somebody was going to say that.
Thanks,
bill
everybody.
Is in the post.
It's worth a try.
Thanks, everybody, for coming and contributing to this conversation. Special thanks to JP and Kendi for talking with us today. Feel free to stay around if you have time and have more questions or comments. And like Ken and JP said, if you have any specific questions, feedback, input about the adult-oriented content, please send them directly my way, or you can send them to the SL dev email, and I look forward to hearing more of your ideas, and thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, thanks everybody.